Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Guardian Radio AM. Today is August 8th, the day after the Emancipation Day holiday, and we continue to celebrate freedom. And one of the freedoms that we are celebrating is how we're going to bring technology into the future to make things possible for Bahamians. And in order to have that conversation, because I have Miss Rhonda Eldred with me. I've known Miss Rhonda Eldred for a while, actually. Never met her. Right, never met her, but we've been communicating via WhatsApp, and of course she came on the show via Zoom, and we communicated because she's trying to change the Bahamas. And I said, what do you mean you're trying to change the Bahamas? She said, I'm going to make it possible for young people, teachers inside the Bahamas, to be able to train them so they can access the possibilities, right? The possibilities of a future or a new Bahamas. And I said, okay. I mean, she's been doing this, volunteering her time, negotiating with various groups to sponsor Bahamians that they have access to all of that. And I said, no, this time when you come to the Bahamas, when you come here, because she's a Bahamian, I said, when you come, I need you to explain exactly what is this program that you are doing so Bahamians can appreciate you, celebrate the program itself as to why it's so important. As to how it has changed the Bahamas, as to why so many people are gravitating to it and saying, my God, they have this in the Bahamas. How is it that this program exists inside the Bahamas, given Bahamians such opportunities and few people know about it? So without further ado, I'll bring on Ms. Rhonda Eldred. And she'll just going to basically explain who she is, right? A career path, right? And how she started her own organization where she just gives back. I mean, sacrifice time, energy, money, and just give back to Bahamians, especially the youth in general. So, the mic. You got to pull the mic. Sorry for that. And pull it a little closer to your mouth and start.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you again for inviting me and Mrs. Rowe and Gabriel. So my name is Rhonda Eldridge. Many may know me as McDiggan Eldridge. I was born here, grew up in the Bahamas, and then pretty much worked outside of the Bahamas most of my professional career. Worked with PwC in the Bahamas as well as in Canada, and moved to the U.S. in 2004. I was in the alternative investment space, so pretty much gone from CFO roles in hedge funds or investments through servicing alternative investment funds, and then moving on to client-facing roles, overseeing all hedge funds for a large European bank that we had in the Americas. So pretty much I was based in New York and responsible for anything that touched North America. During that time, we had the financial crisis, massive implosion of everything that we know today, and has gone down in history as probably one of the worst financial experiences in our time. And during that time, I really started to look at the impact of the financial crisis on humans, and I call it the human fallout. Started having conversations with my clients, and I had a massive network, which I still do today. So I spoke with clients, a lot of people who were displaced in work at the time, because this was a domino effect throughout the world. And I found that I found out two things. I discovered two things. And they say when you remember something and it changes how you see the world, when you discover it, no one is telling you, you see it for yourself. And through these discussions, I found that people felt lost once they lost their job. They had spent years becoming an accountant or a lawyer or an investment manager or a finance professional. And then all of a sudden, the world just didn't need you anymore. So that was one thing. And then the second thing, there was the human side of it, I would call the soft side of it, which was listening to these folks tell their stories. And over a period of about 8 years, I listened, I think, to about 8,000 stories because I started having calls or emails from folks to say, oh, you need to talk to Rhonda. Rhonda's well-connected. She'll listen to your story, and then she'll see how she could help. I started doing that, and I saw the impact that was having on people. They were landing jobs. They were connecting with people who cared about them, people who opened other doors for them, and that mattered to them. And so that led to, I was an entrepreneur at the time, and that led to my helping small businesses and startups with whatever business they were planning to launch. So all related more or less to alternative investments and finance. But these were founders who were starting out their businesses. So really, I found a lot of my time was advising founders, founders in digitized RFPs, founders in the governance space, the servicing space. We had one company out of Switzerland that had blown up. So I had gone in to sort of help with the, getting that company back on the ground, downsizing it, and then looking at what their key success factors were and then having a strategy for them. And that led me to, during one of those client relationships, I was attending an event, and I heard something, a term that I had never heard before. They were talking about displaced persons who were refugees. And how they some have to flee in the night, and they don't have passports, they don't have ID. And this was traditional banks talking about this. This was not sort of an innovator or a tech person talking. These are large banks saying, "Imagine if money would know its owner." And I'm like, "What?" I'd like money to know me, but it may not find me. Sort of. But they said, "What if money knew who its owner was, and that no one could actually steal it from you because you are that value. You're the biometric representation of that money." And I'm like, that sounds weird. I recorded the session. This is 2014. And then I started to research. I couldn't find a lot on it. And I think it was about a year and a half later, I was advising another company. And they were doing a governance platform. So looking at AML, KYC was particularly focused on regulations and technology, using what they call RegTech. And they said, well, we were thinking, why not put AML, KYC on blockchain, right? You go in, everything is the same. You go in, your AML, KYC, you're looking at the same information on the same person about a million times. What if you just put it one place on a ledger? It's digital. It cannot be changed, right? And then all you have to do is trust that when you go onto that particular, into that ledger online, that information is reliable. And so that company I worked with for 2 years, just going to a ton of events in the region and also traveling to places in Europe, just attending these events and learning. I mean, like this was a fascinating new world. And so the concept of, the Web3 digital, we've gone from paper to electronic, and now it's digital. And that digital is, it could be in human form. You are the biometric representation of everything that you own. And so we start talking about digital wallets. We started to see where it was going to be a huge impact on not just finance in the space that I was in, but even more than that. So I started with small events here, New Providence Community Church. I did the first event. We invited some kids from the Ron Fully home. We invited, different generations to that event. And I found that it was just something that was fascinating people. And, started talking to Mr. You know, Governor John Roll about it and the impact I thought it would have on banking, and then started talking with the Office of the Prime Minister and doing some of their inaugural events. And basically, I've gone globally speaking about the event. I'm very involved in many communities worldwide, and I believe in this concept of, in order to cascade the knowledge, we do not need a centralized authority. We need to start becoming more decentralized. And this is why, if we talk to students, we talk to teachers. And the teachers, you know, we have a cohort of teachers. I presented them to them in 2018, Mr. Cunningham of Temple Christian. He embraced what I was talking about in 2018. And in 2019, Felix Stubbs, one of my advisors, said, look, you know, why not, you know, just see if you can just connect with the teachers. And then through Mr. Cunningham, and then, you know, speaking with teachers from all the independent schools, we started to share this message. And then this past year, we did something, I think, extraordinary with the teachers, and Mrs. Roll will talk about it, where we just supported the teachers based on their time, because we know they're busy with our kids, because we've had some learning loss after COVID. But that's where we, you know, it's where we are now. I'm currently sort of have a foot in education. I spend about 4 to 6 months out of the year really doing what I'm doing here in the Bahamas, which is educating, speaking at conferences. And then 6 to 7 months, depending on the time frame, I have gone back to audit, which is my traditional chartered accountant skills. And in auditing hedge funds, we started to see a lot of investments in the digital asset world. And this is where the investments come in. If money's going into the space, then there's money to be made in the space. And that's where we are.
Okay. And I thank you for that. And I, just for my listening audience, we have a limited number of persons who have going through over the threshold of being global and international, who are making a global impact. And Ms. Rhonda Eldridge is one of those behemoths. She's not, I'm just trying to say, she's high end. The idea that she volunteers her time and come back to the Bahamas, being a global force in the financial field, right? An expert in such. This is big news, right? And what she have done now, she have crafted an organization, right? To basically educate behemoths, bring them along with her, right? And now she has partnered with teachers. Mm-hmm. And now I want to know, I want you to explain, what is this program that you've created?
Right.
And then we bring in Ms. Roll now to see how she partners in.
Sure. So as I said, it started in 2018, speaking with Mr. Cunningham, who is president of the Independent School Association in the Bahamas, sharing this. And I think someone had spoken to him before. He came to our 2019 event where he got his first Bitcoin from a machine. I did not know the machine was coming, but there was a machine there you could buy Bitcoin. And so what we started to do was think about how, you know, with social entrepreneurs, so the problem is, the question is, how do you solve a problem? What is the problem and how do you solve it? And you really have to go to the grassroots of the problem. What is fueling it, right? Not necessarily the problem itself. There's something behind that. And we found that, you know, teachers, they're busy. They're busy, and COVID didn't make it easy. So what we decided to do was teach the teachers. And we reached out to a few teachers. And then what we had done the year before is we had done something with the students. 2021, we'd done something with the students. And then we invited the teachers to listen to the students talk about what they had, the program they had gone through. And they were like, what? This is fascinating. And these were 12 and 13-year-old students. And so we then said, okay, well, we would like to also extend that same type of program to the teachers. It's a cohort. We've had a number of speakers, and teachers have ideas. I won't get into the particulars of it. I'll let Ms. Roll do that.
Yes, just want to bring in Ms. Roll.
But there's teachers, and mm-hmm. then we feel, in terms of change and accelerating knowledge sharing and education, to change and shift the skills of human capital in, mm-hmm. in any country, you need to have what I call accelerated learning.
Okay.
And that accelerated learning has to be, it's actually decentralized, and it's probably a little non-conventional in some ways, but it really does help with the human skills of critical thinking, problem solving. And all we do is we're just an engine. And Mrs. Roll could probably explain that. And
bring that mic a little closer to you, Ms. Roll. And you are part of we're a part of the cohort now, but now you're an expert of doing what it is that you do. Explain why you joined the program, and now what is it that you do for young behemoths?
Good morning, everyone.
And this is Miss Michelle Rose. Sorry, and she's a teacher. Go ahead.
Good morning. And so it was in 2019, my principal, Mr. Perry Cunningham, invited me to a session, a blockchain session, led by Rwanda. And I was very excited when I got there, the information that was shared. Dr. Governor Roll, he was actually talking about cryptocurrency in terms of the white paper that they were establishing. And I too partook in the Bitcoin. I went to the machine, my principal and I, we went there and we got a little $5 block, you know, $5 Bitcoin, and created our wallet on our phone. We were very excited about the program and what the program offered. And as a teacher, I must say that I am truly blessed to be a part of the program that Rwanda has established. Last year, the session that was held for teachers basically spoke directly to blockchain. And so we spent hours on end learning about blockchain. It was very exciting. At the end of the program, we got a little certificate, which we were very happy, you know, happy to receive. There was also, they also produced a book at the end of the program on blockchain. So for teachers, the information that I got, I know that students are out there. There are a lot of students who are on the computer, they're on the internet, and they're just asking themselves positively in the things that the quote-unquote worldwide word have to offer. And so at our school, along with my another teacher, Mrs. Chang, we started our club, a digi club, which we call a digi club, which was established last school year. And so it was a pilot program, so we invited 9 students. But at the end of the day, we had, it was like the first, within the first week, we had like 14 students who also wanted to join. And so we exceeded our limit, but we still went on with the program. So in our school, what the students did and what we did, first of all, we talked to them. We spoke to them about digital currency, blockchain, how to become a digital citizen. We also went as far as creating our own digital currency. And the students, we partnered with our cafeteria, our office. And so in students purchasing their lunches, they actually had to take their DigiCoin.
Wait, you all have your own digital coin in this school?
Yes, we do.
So I could buy things with my DigiCoin
yes,
in your school?
Yes, yes, precisely. They went
and we have people who could create that here in your school now?
Yes, yes. So we have, the students will go, and depending on the value of the coin at that time, because some days, because we also taught how to trade and also how to use the exchange. And so we know that the exchange, some days it may be up and some days it may go down. So depending on the value of the coin that day, then they could have purchased a meal.
So your coin is live?
Live and active.
And the children at your school, the students at your school learned how to do all of this stuff already?
Yes. So they were able to go to the cafeteria. If the coin was worth $2, they could have gotten a $2 meal for one coin. Sometimes it went down as usual. And so some
and
of them
the
kept
students
their
understand
coin.
This?
They understood. We went through the whole process on what they should do, what they could do. The advantages of even saving the coin. You could wait for the market to go up. You can trade. They even did a little trading among each other. So that program was, to me and to them, appeared to be a blessing in disguise. Because they learned not only just the theory part of it, but the practical interaction about using the DigiCoin. And so we were very excited with the program.
No, I'm excited. I didn't know that you were that far advanced, that you have students who not just know the theory of it, they actually are in the system working on it. And I'm very impressed with that. Mm-hmm. But I want to backtrack and go back to Rhonda first because I have Gabriel. I'm not even sure how old you are, Gabriel, right? But I'm good. Gabriel Sanders. I'm coming to you soon. Now, I know you call it blockchain. Yes. I see you call digi coins, whatever mm-hmm. it is. I'm familiar with the digi coins, right? Because mm-hmm. I every so often I go to the supermarket and buy things, right? But I'm not familiar rightfully, and ashamed to say that, because I see Gabriel knows, right? Mm-hmm. What is this blockchain, and how can the Bahamas benefit from this? Why are we moving towards it? Because it seems to be a trending word. Mm-hmm. It seems to be our future. But can you briefly explain that for me?
It's just an electronic ledger. Think of it as an electronic ledger that's available to anyone on the internet. If you have access to the internet, and some things are not necessarily on the internet, it could be private chains as well. But think of it as something that's digital. If you have a bank account and your bank account is online, you don't have to check with the bank. Now, we can go a little step, we can go a step further and not have the bank in there, which is peer-to-peer. That's how Bitcoin got started.
But if I need to try, this peer-to-peer,
well, there is a white paper. The white paper is out there. These are all white papers online. And this movement started in the 1990s with cryptography. But I wouldn't get too complicated with it. But just think, if you were able to use your biometric ID, for example, if instead of having a physical wallet, you have a digital wallet that's created on the internet. Right? And I put, in a secure way, my money in that wallet. And the thing that opens that wallet is my private key, which may be, let's say, my iris or something that's unique to me. Mm-hmm. No one else knows that, but I open it, right? It's just like you use your phone right now to open up the phone if it's locked. I want to transfer something to her. It could be money or value, or it could be that I have something in that wallet, maybe a contract, and I won't get too complicated, or it could be something like art. Today, we hear terms like NFTs, and I won't get too complicated. But those are things that I have in a digital way. Just think of all of these things as digital on the internet, and I want to share it with her. So it could be value, it could be art, it could be a contract, it could be a secret code, it could be whatever I have in this secure ledger. And that it's very difficult for anyone to crack the code, so to speak. I mean, they're hackers if you put information online and there's a third party responsible. But if you are that party taking control of your life and your value and what you want to put out there as your asset, that could be digitized. And this is something that Gabriel is going to be speaking about, and he's a little nervous, but he'll be speaking about it at the conference this week. And these are all terms that, you know, we try to expose the teachers and the kids to in our cohort on a daily basis. I try to share as much, anything that's happening out there, I try to synthesize, and we put it in there. And but basically, just look at it as a ledger that's on the internet. Anyone can access it. So it's decentralized, it's distributed, and there's a code or a language or a way of storing it in a secure way called cryptography, and that's where the term comes from. It's not people hear it and they think of things that are like negative, right? Crypto, ooh, that sounds like it's a little dark and, you know, scary. But it's just the term for cryptography, which is a really sophisticated solution-based math problem that people have to solve. But there's a whole slew of things that have evolved over the last, since inception of this particular, it was, you know, created by someone, or a male or female, no one really knows, called Satoshi Nakamoto. Basically, just think of it as this is, you'll be moved from the paper world to the electronic world, and now we are moving into the digital world. And so this is a space, this is a place, I would say, of transformation, particularly after COVID, because we basically had to shift online, and everything, because of COVID, we moved into the fourth industrial revolution, because we were forced to be online. If you didn't have a bank account online, you didn't know how to go to school online, you were like literally a prisoner at home.
Yes.
So that forced us into the digitized world, or the digital world. And they call this the fourth industrial revolution, because now things are moving at an accelerated pace. And we used to talk about 50 years out, we will have something called singularity, meaning that, you know, you can, instead of going to school, you can download and upload information to and from the computers. But with open AI, or ChatGPT, and many iterations of generative AI, we are now seeing infinite possibilities of using technology. And so it's important for humans to accelerate learning, exactly like you did in the school, but you didn't really do too much in technical, right? You basically said, here is the technology, but I'll show you how it works. And when people actually use it in the way it was done through their program, Temple Christian, everyone. and we had a couple other schools, but this is the one school where we had a pilot, and we've got some other things we can talk about later. But what I'm trying to say is students are really fascinated by that, and they learn quickly. That's the world they are. They are digital natives, and that's the world that we have to start teaching them in. So there you go.
Okay, but so let's bring in Gabriel. Let's bring that microphone around, right? And Gabriel's a little bit nervous, but I'll talk directly to you. Talk to me, right? And speak directly to the mic. You look young. I don't know how old you are, but tell me how old you are, Gabriel.
I'm 13 years old.
You're 13. Okay, you're around my child age, right? But you're doing something spectacular, right? They now have invited you to be a tutor, a spokesperson at this conference that's happening because you do something well. I want to know about your first experience coming to this camp then and how come they're calling you now to speak. So tell me about that. Just a narrative. Go ahead.
I came here to do this for...
When you say you come here, you came from a different island or from Nassau?
Nassau.
Okay, go ahead.
I came from Nassau, and the reason why I came to do this because some children have learning disabilities, and I want them to be able to learn just, but not in a school setting, but just like, well, not in a school setting, but at a home setting, because some of them may have learning disabilities such as reading, visual, etc. So then, like, I want to design a website or a website that can help them understand rather than being a school setting or traditional school setting, because then they could get distracted by small little things on it around them, or they just may fall asleep and forget all about the lesson.
I tend to fall asleep easily. That's just me. I get bored easily. I need people to just motivate me all the time, right? But exactly, what have you learned from the program?
I learned a lot of things. I learned a lot of things from blockchain, and I learned something new. And I learned about something new too, about tokenization. But you could repeat the question.
No problem. Be good. What is tokenization? You sure know new terms to me.
Tokenization is basically the means of turning sensitive data or personal info into unique shapes or lines that can help you in businesses or in any transactions.
I like that. Now, you see, you seem to be technical savvy. I know nothing about computers. I'm overwhelmed by hearing you, what you're doing, right? And I know you started the program, and they taught you a number of skills. And you are one of the few Bohemians who actually can do this thing. So kudos to you. And you're going to be speaking to other young persons just like yourself, right, about options on how they can monetize this skill, right, and how this skill can service the Bahamians in general, the Bahamas in general, right? Because they talk about blockchain. I have no clue what blockchain means, right? And I'm learning that as we speak. So you are familiar with blockchain?
Yes.
And now you call the word tokenization. You are familiar with tokenization?
Yes, sir.
And what else are you familiar with? Because, I mean, you just seem to know everything. What is it that they all have taught you from these various camps that now to the point that you, to the camp where they have you as a speaker. So what else have they taught you?
They only taught me about blockchain and how it helps. And I learned tokenization by myself.
You learned tokenization by yourself?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. And something like that, where would you learn tokenization from? You say by yourself.
Not by myself, actually, but from the camp I've been to for blockchain, they brought up something for me, what they shared to my mother, and my mother shared it to me and asked me if I still will continue this or if I want to do this still. So then I say, yeah, and then tokenization, and then the word tokenization just came out of nowhere. So then, yeah.
That's you. Are you impressed? Well, let's go back to you, Rhonda, right? Sure. You have a camp.
Correct.
Yes. And that makes you work.
Okay, great.
Just pull it closer.
Yes.
Getting good. So you have a camp. Mm-hmm. This camp be put on how many times a year?
This is actually, we do it once. We do it once a year in the summer, and we do it in August. That was not by choice. When we started looking at doing the event, we couldn't get any space back in 2019. Mm-hmm. So we ended up in August, which was fine. So we've done it. This is our fifth year.
Mm-hmm. And 5 years you've been doing this camp.
Okay. Correct. And we started out with a physical event in 2019, and then we went online to a virtual event in 2020 and 21, and then last year we did a hybrid event, and this year we have it as an in-person event. We'll have capacity to take in about 70 persons, including the instructors, the teachers, and the students. So we'll be live streaming it on Facebook Live under HAP Network Community or Harness All Possibilities. But you can go to the website, which is 242BBS, which is for Bahamas Blockchain Business School. Mm-hmm. You can go to 242BBS.com, and on the web page, it does tell you you can join remotely. So you just push join us remotely, and you get
access. So there's two options you can attend the school. And mm-hmm. the two options are either come there personally.
Correct.
Or you can come on the web.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. And go ahead, finish.
So what we did with the in-person is we've reached out to communities in need specifically. We have our community or our cohorts, so teachers and some of the students like Gabriel. We have actually a couple cohorts, and we have a blockchain developer cohort, which Gabriel is a part of. And we're also doing something where we're taking ideas to a minimal viable product, and he's part of that as well. Mm-hmm. It's the last 5 weeks. Tonight is the last night, I think. Yeah, tonight's the last night for that. And so what we are doing is we reach out to communities in need first. So we try to get students who would not otherwise be able to afford. If parents can't afford, they can pay. But we've reached out to those communities to bring those students to the event. So we have students coming from, I think we've got about 6 to 10, maybe even as much as 10, because maybe sometimes we'll have one or two from a community. And we have the teachers there, so the teachers are going to be teaching some of the topics that they've learned about. They've got textbooks, Web3 for blockchain, or a blockchain for Web3, sorry, textbooks produced by teachers for students. And so it's going to be a whole slew of different topics. This every year is a different theme. This year we're looking at climate change. We have Marjan Finlayson, she's a climate scientist, is going to be speaking. We have Veronica, who is in Portugal. She's an investor in crypto and blockchain digital assets. So she will be interviewed by Gabriel, and that's why tokenization has come up, because he's had to research it mm-hmm. in order to ask her questions. And we have a number of other topics about, what I call social media or digital literacy. I mean, or media literacy. We're talking about financial literacy. We have the Financial Academy. We're going to be having a workshop on money and how to have a better relationship with money. So we have a number of different topics. All of them are on the website. And we have 3 days, so it starts tomorrow with meditation at 8. Between 8 and 8:50, there's meditation. Our host is... again, coming back, she's been with us for the last 5 years from day one, Beijing Rogers. Mm-hmm. Woohoo! She's coming back. And we start at 9, and we bring in a futurist from Tata Consultancy Group, and he's going to go through the history of where we were in terms of the world, or the different industrial revolutions, and we're at this sort of, crossroad of digital transformation, and where do we go from here? Right? What we did before probably will not matter anymore. So that's where we are. 3 days or 2.5 days, starting tomorrow at 9, ends at 5, and then Thursday and ends half day Friday.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, right? And I just wanted to say that this is a high-end event, right?
Correct,
and
yes.
In terms of you have grouped a number of specialists from around the world to come and attend.
Correct.
And to give this information to people.
Correct.
And a number of high-end schools in the Bahamas gravitated to say, I need my child here. Mm-hmm. And now you actually affording the opportunity for persons who are disadvantaged to say, hey, whilst we're doing this program, you come and also take advantage of this, because this is the new future. This is the new world that we're living in, and I want to say thank you for that.
Thank you.
We can take a short commercial break here, and then we can further explain the days of the program and the cohort and what the schedule. It's Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, we have Rhonda Eldridge with me. We have teacher Miss Michelle Roll, of course. We have Gabriel Sanders, who's going to be also a tutor there. It's going to be talking blockchain and tokenization. Yes, he's going to have a whole segment on tokenization. And thanks very much. We'll be right back in a short break.
Why you look so washed up? Like clothes at the washer?
No, but just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Vaccines protect those we love the most, our children and our grandchildren. I vaccinated my children to protect them. Getting your child immunized can protect them against diseases like polio, measles, whooping cough, and others. So protect your child today by getting them immunized. My grandchildren are vaccinated. You should do the same. Vaccinate your children and your grandchildren and make sure they are safe.
Vaccines are essential for new and returning students. As you begin back-to-school preparations, ensure that your children's vaccinations are up to date. All vaccines are available at all public health clinics.
This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, and USAID.
Grab your camera, capture the spirit of the Bahamas, and win cash and prizes. Scotiabank, in partnership with the Guardian Media Group, invites all youth, amateur, and professional photographers to enter the Celebrate Bahamas 50 Photography Competition, being held under the theme One Nation, One Legacy, Our Future. With more than $8,000 in cash to be won, snap those photos and send them in by August 30th. Visit guardiantalkradio.com or bs.scotiabank.com to find out how to enter. Let's celebrate our proud nation in photos. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Again, we're talking to Ms. Rhonda Eldridge. And what is the name of your program? This cohort was going to be happening this week.
So this week we have the Blockchain Business School. That's the name we've... you look at it as a mini business school of sorts, but with an infusion of technology or emerging technology. So we try to bring in these forward-thinking, disruptive thinking type of concepts, and they're very exponential. So it's not just about the foundational literacy, but it's also the, I will call, the character and the various competencies of learning, which are, you know, which you would call 21st century learning.
So it's an entire business school that you're having now.
Correct. It's business. And we do entrepreneurship. So last four weeks now, today is the fifth week, we've had weekly workshops with a software engineer to take ideas from the head, put them on paper, how to tell the story of the idea, straight through to what we hope will be a minimal viable product. And for investors in the Bahamas, to invest in things that are made by Bahamian, created by Bahamians.
And you have partnered with a number of persons to make sure this is available.
Correct.
And who, can you say who you partnered with?
Well, the person running this particular program, the five-week cohort, literally I spoke with her about 7 weeks ago, and I'm like, I have an idea. And I think that, you know, and we do pay our instructors. There are various compensation or profit sharing or revenue sharing initiatives in the program, so everyone benefits. But Rashawn Smith is actually running the program. I chime in, I come in, and maybe because I've done a lot of pitches and I've advised so many, I've done a lot of pitches, I've been part of a judge for many different events, I would kind of bring in, I'll add something that should be maybe considered as they're going through. But we had a five-week program, and that program was offered at no cost, and we absorb the cost of hosting that program. I think Gabriel and there's another young man, Felton. They're the two youngest younger ones in the program. They're both 13, and they have ideas. And we do it in a way where we protect their ideas.
So let's talk about the age. What age a person is supposed to be?
For the cohort that we did for the software developer or blockchain developer cohort, the youngest person that participated was 12, mm-hmm. and he got his blockchain certificate, which is the equivalent of one semester of university computer science education.
See, I'm not sure if Bahamian understand exactly what you're offering.
Okay. Right? So basically, we offer the knowledge. It's knowledge sharing. So there are different cohorts. The teachers cohort, we are focused on teaching the teachers about blockchain so the teachers can teach the students. Mm-hmm. So that's a cohort. We pour into that whatever the teachers need in terms of resources, speakers, presenters.
Give me the next cohort, which you have.
The next one we have done is just a basic blockchain education. Mm-hmm. We provided access to an online or e-learning course. That course we started to offer in 2019. And that's supplemented by perhaps workshops and speakers so people can understand concepts. Mm-hmm. So that program, we registered over 700 persons in the Caribbean for that. So I'm sorry about that. He's just calling back. That program we were able to register, or you applied online and we gave you access to the program, and then we supplemented the access. So that's the basic blockchain essentials course. Mm-hmm. Then we had what we call the software developer course. Mm-hmm. The software developer course was an 11-week intense blockchain certification program. And the students who signed up for that had to go through a preliminary course so that they had the fundamental understanding of certain terms. And then we had ages 12 through 25, I think, mm-hmm. Students who enrolled in that. And we had two Bahamian students. I think they're probably the first ones to have passed the course. We had one from Cayman. And those students got a blockchain developer certificate at the end. They participated with 14 other persons globally of all different ages and backgrounds. So we had our Bahamian students. I think we had about four Bahamians part of that. And then there are a couple other things that we add to the program. This year was the first year we did the workshops, so the weekly workshops for anyone who has an idea that wants to take that idea from that initial stage straight through to a minimal viable product, maybe a mobile app, maybe a website, who knows?
Yes, and you do all of that inside this program. So what's happening tomorrow?
Tomorrow we start our conference. So mm-hmm. the conference starts tomorrow at 9 a.m., as I said. We are only disclosing the location to persons who are registered because we're not able to take on more than we can hold in the room and feed, because we do feed everyone. And then anyone could participate online. Last year, we had folks who participated online, but we had a larger space, and we had conversion in that some of those people online showed up on the Saturday. The whole family showed up with the grandma, which was great. And we have persons traveling in. A lot of persons are participating remotely. We have someone who was previously with Microsoft. She's an investor, a VC investor. She's coming in. She's actually flying in today. She'll be here at 5. We have Rashawn, who's currently with Red Hat, and which is part of IBM. She's flying in today. She's doing a number of workshops, and she's finishing. Actually, no, sorry. Rashawn is already here. She's doing a workshop as well this week. So we have a lot of workshops in the afternoon. Morning, it's more the technical. So we, for example, tomorrow when we start, we have, like I said, we have a futurist kind of talking about the future of work to give everyone perspective on what's happening. Because sometimes I think we all, not that we live in a bubble, but when you see the bigger context of where things are going in the world, then you say, well, now I get it. I understand it. What am I going to do to level up, I call it. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow we start with meditation. LaCrista Strawn is coming in to just really get people to use the power of the mind, because we feel the future is all about two things: your mind and your mindset for learning, and knowledge. Knowledge is available anywhere. You can go online, you can learn. It's just way too much information. But learning how to carve or craft learning in a way that you learn faster, mm-hmm. but you learn what you need to know, not all of the noise, and cutting out the noise. So we're going to talk a little bit about some mental models. I'm actually going to do that presentation. I've been part of a mental model group for a couple of years. So I'm going to talk about how you could sort of synthesize your learning. You don't have to read the entire book, but this is how you would read a book, so you get the metadata, so to speak. So tomorrow we start, every day starts at about 8, between 8 and 9, with quiet time. And we'll have continental breakfast, because we have a number of persons coming from Andrus and Eleuthera. And we thank Minister Lundy, who has made it possible for some of his constituents to join us, as well as we have organizations like Brylin Modem that's also made it possible for the families from Eleuthera to come. And we have a ton of other sponsors, very much community. So tomorrow we're looking at imagining the future. We have a seaside chat where we're talking about the deep and darkest fakes, like how to read. You know, there's a lot of gossip and noise when it comes to media. Well, how do you know what is a reliable media? What is media that you can say, okay, that's something I can believe? We tend to think everything on the internet is real. And it's fact, and it's not. So we have someone who's coming to talk about understanding to separate what is noise, and what there's a term for it. It's literally a term in terms of reliable. How reliable is it? Where is it coming from? What's the purpose of it? And then we have a young man who spoke last year, and one of our students is going to interview him. He's 19 years old. He started a company since that we talked with him last year. He's got 12 employees now. So he's going to talk about how, as a 19-year-old, he got started with his business. Climate change in the Bahamas with Marjan Finlayson. We have Rogino Aubrey. He's going to talk about ChatGPT and what this whole artificial intelligence, what's this all about, right, with ChatGPT. Then Ryan Austin, he's going to be talking about how to organize things, the tedious stuff, like why do we get bogged down in things that are not. So it's really the soft skills. And then we have a financial literacy workshop tomorrow afternoon with Lakeisha Roll of the Financial Institute. And then we have additional similar sessions on Thursday, and Friday is a half day. Wednesday and Thursday, they end with Bohemian musician Julian Believe is coming in. He's come in for 5 years. Even during COVID, he entertained the students, leave them with positive energy, and we always say, and tire them out so they go home and sleep. But it really is some topics we may have heard of, some topics may be new, or some concepts may be new, but we feel that it's important to introduce these concepts earlier, and it's important to include the teachers, because we're all about inclusion and diversity, and making sure that we cascade knowledge to others in a way where they are inspired to then cascade it further. We are not going to be the middleman. We get out of the way, so to speak. And I think Mrs. Roll will tell you that's what we do. I'm like, okay, where do you want to go with this next?
And Ms. Roll, what will you be doing at this conference that's happening?
So at the conference, I will be sharing on the program that we had, the pilot program, our DigiByte Club. I personally want to encourage the students and the other teachers to join it, to bring it into their school, because our students are not just students for Nassau or from Can Island or for Luthra. We are in a global environment. Most of our students, when they graduate, they go off to colleges, universities in the United States, Canada, the UK. And so they're going to be meeting students who have been taught, who have been studying, who have seen the digital era in action. And so we want to actually help our students to make sure that they are equipped enough that when they step out, when they leave the Bahamas, that they're able to partake in what's been offered in the wider world. And so even at our school, as one of our mission statements actually is, that we embrace technology so that our students become lifelong learners. And so at the event, I am happy to share and encourage students that they would even develop their own club, and they would assist other students to become, you know, digital citizens in the Bahamas.
And how do I register if my child is interested? If I am a young adult, 25-ish, want to be part of this, how do I register?
So it's very easy. You go online to 242, B like in boy, B like in boy, S like in son. So 242BBS.com. And when you go there, you're going to see two buttons. There's one button that says register to join, and there's another button to the right-hand side that's kind of hidden. It says in need registration, and that registration would be for persons who cannot afford a fee, which is $250 for the 2.5 days, which includes the meals. But if you go to the right side, you'll see three little lines. You click on those lines, you're going to see in need registration, or if you're looking at it from the computer, it'll be on the top right-hand side. It says in need registration. We will take the first 10 persons who register, mm-hmm. because we have, even this morning, I had persons wanting to register, and we are, like I said, making sure we accommodate students in underserved communities, so we have a few of those who are still waiting to register. So the first 10 persons we will take, and others we will ask you to kindly join online, and you can go to our Facebook page, which is Harness All Possibilities, or if you go to the website 242bbs.com, there is a button that says join us remotely, and that button takes you through to the live stream tomorrow.
Let's talk about the live stream option. Mm-hmm. Who and what and how? Is that a cost for the live stream option?
No, the live stream is at no cost. We're hoping next year we were able to open it up to more folks, but we've looked at it, like I said, we're social entrepreneurs, so we've looked at it and how can we make something financially feasible but get the word out. And so to make it live stream, you know, and available to everyone like we did in the last 3 years, we found that's really impactful as well.
So for those persons who are unable to attend the physical presence, mm-hmm. you can go on the internet, connect to the live stream, and that's free. You can
correct.
See all the courses and whatever
correct,
it is.
There. Correct, correct.
Now, how many days is this for?
It's for tomorrow, so the 9th of August, the 10th of August, and the 11th of August, and it finishes at about midday. There will be pizza on Friday. Friday's pizza day at the end of the conference. And then tomorrow we have, tomorrow and Thursday we will be providing meals as well.
Do you have a social media page that I can go for?
Social media, yes. So the main page for this event is on Instagram, and that is called blockchain_business_school, and there's a coding flamingo. So if you go to Instagram, you can follow us there. We are posting, and I make it clear that a lot of the social media you see posted are not being posted by me. They're posted by students. So we do teach kids about social media, and Gabriel will tell you, for him to do tokenization, how long was that page that you had to the white paper? Was that 30? How many pages?
You got to go through all of that.
He had to learn. You remember it. But he had to really, like, learn. So it's not as if we spoon-feed them, and I say it's not spoon-feeding. It's really, like Mrs. Roald said, it's a lifelong learner becomes curious, and then you learn how to research and learn, and then learn how to use what you've learned, and then learn how to teach what you've learned as well.
Okay, nice. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed with this, right? So I want people to follow you. So they can go to the Instagram.
Correct.
Give me the Instagram one more time.
Instagram is blockchain_business_school, and there's a pink flamingo that's coding.
And the web page again?
I'm sorry?
The webpage?
242bbs.com. And we'll see you online tomorrow and through Friday.
This has been Guided Radio on the AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, we spoke with Ms. Rhonda Eldridge and, of course, Gabriel Sanders and teacher Michelle Rowell, who's going to be present to give her presentation tomorrow. Anyway, we got to go. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.